Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
I always love to hear my silly voice. That is Dave Solomon. Always so proud to have him do the intro, and he gets a big chuckle every time he hears that when he listens into the show. Listen, we're just going to hop right to it because we've got a two-hour show today. I know that it's weird to have a show on Wednesday. We did this on International Jazz Day, but usually Hybrid Jazz is on Tuesdays and Thursdays. But this time, the gentleman in question wanted to accommodate me because I had to take my son to the train station yesterday so he could go off to Florida. So this first gentleman, I feel as though I don't even need to introduce him, but I have to build him up. This man, this artist, has one of the reputations that any artist would like to have, whether that artist be regional or international. Solidly stupendous is what people say across the board. An award-winning pianist and composer getting accolades out the window for his Otherworld CD that was just released in 2013. Would you please make welcome, yes, the heir to the throne of Johann Sebastian Bach. This is David Bach. Woohoo! How are you, David?
Thank you, sir. I'm doing great. It's wonderful to be here, and, you know, thanks for that introduction. That's something. That's over the top right there, but thank you so much.
Oh, no, listen, you have to know what kind of a wonderful reputation you have. This is across the board. It's because of your skills, for sure, but it's also because of what you bring to the table in the way of, and I can't think of any other term, David, but your customer service skills are so wonderful. You're a professional in every sense. That's a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much. I mean, I get calls sometimes, and people say, "Wow, how are you getting all the gigs?" And I say, it's simple. It's business 101. You know,
yes.
you try and give people a little bit more than what they thought they were going to get. And you show up a little bit earlier than they thought you would show up. And you smile a little bit more. And music is just it's a very easy vehicle to do all those things because it's such a positive thing anyway. So it's I'm just glad that people notice, and I feel very blessed that this region, the whole D.C. Baltimore region, has accepted me. And now, you know, with Otherworld out there, just the national and the international support is just it's fabulous. I mean, I'm very humbled by the whole thing.
Well, here's the thing. You know, there have been other musical projects before Otherworld, but you really did lay the groundwork for all of this success for the latest CD to be as well received as it is, because, you know, there are some artists that are totally into their music and they have their personality in the music. But you really do love to do the glad-handing. You really do love to have the contact with people. And that is what has made the difference. I mean, you're the kind of person who's like, you remind me in a sense of Princess Diana, because she, among other things, she was such a fabulous person, but she made it a point that when someone did something very nice for her, gave her a gift, issued an invitation, she would do the thank you notes. And you are that kind of person. You like to reach out and say, "I really appreciate that." People don't forget that, David, and you know it more than many others.
Thank you. I mean, what was it? It was somebody, I just read that. Who did the quote where they said, "Hey, people will forget, you know, what you did to them. They'll forget, the bad experience, but they'll never forget how you made them feel," or what? It's
Maya,
some statement.
Yes, it was Maya Angelou.
Yeah, Maya Angelou. Okay, perfect. You know, and she was just absolutely wonderful. All the great stuff that she did, and and yes. how inspirational she is. But that statement, you know what? I remember the first time I saw that, it was like, wow, you know, absolutely, you know, there's so much truth to that, and it's not just about music. It's not just about, hey, we're musicians and look at me up on stage. There's really a handoff. We play, and it's about musicians on stage listening to each other and giving each other space so that you're actually creating something, and a spirit, a emotion, a feeling that then goes out to the audience, and the audience picks up on that, and they can be receptive to it. And the problem is, and you know, fortunately for us, and for me, I grew up in a time when musicians, it was really about a shared communal experience, the band experience, all for one for all. It's a little bit different now, I think, and it's really, there's a lot of this me, look at me, and
yeah.
how loud I can be, and how, you know, how long my solo is, and my solo blew your solo away, and it's like, you know what, to me, that's not about making music. You know, yes, chops are important, and yes, technique is important, and yes, being able to do good solo is important, but really making beautiful music transcends all that, and all of a sudden it becomes art. And you know, I've always tried to just try and make it beautiful, so it was more art than it was really about, hey, look at me, I'm trying to go, the focus isn't really me, the focus is the music and what the music does to you. It's like when people say to me, well, what were you thinking when you were writing that music? Wow, what were you thinking? And I'm like, no, that's not the right question. The question is how does it make you feel? What does it make you think? You know, because everybody's going to hear it and see it differently.
That's true. Well, here's a question that I want to ask you that I've not asked you on previous visits to the show. Since you were an Air Force brat and you moved to a lot of different places, how did you get your footing into the training of classical music? How did that come to be?
My earliest recollection of music was I was probably about 4 or 5 years old, and I heard somebody in our stairwell. We were living in a military complex playing piano. It was a kid upstairs, and I was like, wow, that's sort of neat. And then my next recollection is all of a sudden a piano appeared in our house, and my sister was getting piano lessons. And I wasn't getting the piano lessons, and, of course, you know, the brother-sister competition. I would sit there and figure out her lessons, and just to sort of, I guess, piss her off, I would learn it better than her. And finally my parents realized that, wow, this guy, my father wanted me to be a military guy or, you know, a quarterback in the NFL. But no, he's going to be a musician. And really it was my mother. My mother, she grew up in Germany during the war, and she saw all this destruction, and she wanted both her kids to be very involved in arts. And my mother,
wow,
she took me to lessons, and we would move. Yes, we moved every 2 or 3 years, but somehow she would always find pretty much the happening instructor, professor, teacher, and I always had very good instructions early on. And it was my mother who would cart me around every week. I mean, nobody had to ask me to practice. I was one of those kids where it was like I was getting the response very early on. You know, my sister would be pissed off that, you know, I was better than she was, and that was great. And I would play the little song, and people would clap. And, you know, as I got older, you know, I could get into the bands, and then the pretty girls would want to date me. It was like, for me, it was like pretty much the path of least resistance, because my phone is always rung, and it was really weird, and my mother was there. She is the reason why I'm the musician that I am, because she was the one who sacrificed to take me to the lessons. And, you know, my parents, they're the ones who pretty much did that. And I think really, not just in music, but any artistic type thing, you sort of need to have that. You have to have a support group. You know, it's the parents that are going to – it's the parents' dream that sort of is instilled at least early on onto the child.
And the cool thing is about this particular dream, I never knew this, and that is so beautiful. Your mother had seen and felt enough death, and she wanted to create life, and she knew that you had a gift. That is so awesome.
Yep, yep.
Wow.
Yeah, yep.
And to me, you know, it's one thing if your parent has a dream for you, but the thing is that many times the parent has the dream that's not the child's dream whatsoever. It's the parent. And we've heard so much through the years that people are left frustrated because the parent failed at being something, so they wanted their child to be the success of their failure. And that's just not fair at all. So you really did have the best of all worlds because your mom perceived the dream for you. She wanted you to be cognizant of the life around you and the art that you could be capable of creating. So no wonder you're so cool, David.
Thank you, Trish. I appreciate that. Trish, you're coming out this Sunday. You're going to be with us Sunday?
Oh, my God, yes. Are you kidding? And, of course, that's the reason why you're on, I know. But how did that come to be? How did you get involved? And we have to give the correct name of what's going on this Sunday because it's called High Schoolers and Headliners, one of the awesome events that I've heard of. How did you get involved in this?
Well, you know Janet, right?
Yes.
Janet, my PR person, she and I were thinking, you know, hey, we got to, like, you know, do some type of CD release. And we were looking at different places and different radio stations. And somehow, I don't know how she did it, but she got Howard Bank, which is a Baltimore bank, community bank, to do some type of sponsorship. But the requirement that they had was it had to be sort of like in the Baltimore Towson area. So, you know, I was thinking about, you know, well, we need to have some type of charity element if we're going to have sponsorship like this. And my buddy David Wren, who's a great saxophone player, he's the director of the Towson High School Jazz Band. And the music department, and he used to play with us, and he had to quit playing with us because he got this great gig being the director at Towson High School, and that's what he does now. And I sort of, you know, we tried to get some people in, you know, like Towson University and various other places involved, but they weren't really that interested. And when I mentioned it to Towson High School, to David Wren, he was like, wow, he was like all over it. He got his the high school booster club behind it, and you know, one thing led to another, and all of a sudden this has just turned into just this really fantastic thing where everybody's all excited. And for me, it's like, it really is about kids, you know. I look at when I was in high school, if it wasn't for the fact that we didn't have places to play, I wouldn't be none of you know, a musician. You know, you can practice all you want to practice, and you can have, you know, the technique all you want to technique, but really, the you need to have a place to play and an audience to play in front of where you really start making music, especially in a band, and just getting that. That's where you have that experience. And the thing is these kids nowadays, they just don't have many places to play. So that they were all into it. And we have like six bands opening up starting at 6:30, high school groups, and some are like a solo, and some are like little jazz trios, and some are, I think there's even maybe a rock band. We don't really care. It's just they're going to play till about 6:15, and then I have all my band, the consort, with you know Lorenzo's bands, and David Mark is flying in from Arizona.
Wow.
And, play sax, and we have, you know, my group with Eddie Montalvo, and I have Andy Hamburger, and Carla's going to be there because Carla's staying on a couple tunes on Otherworld, and Al Williams.
Oh, great!
Yeah, so I have and Jimmy Charlton playing some bass and Jeff Reed with the upright. So I'm going to bring in some other guys to play. And then the really neat that Andrew knew is you know, he's like a renowned sax player, and I don't really, I never knew Andrew, but David Wren's boss is Andrew's sister. And it was like, Andrew's played at Towson High School before. It was like, you know what, why don't we just make this one big musical experience? And it's like, it's really cool. It's like, it's the Charles Village Pub is a really nice place in that it has, it's two stories, and there's three bars there, and if we get 600 people there, we can accommodate, and if it's 250 people, we can accommodate, and there's food there, and there's, you know, all sorts of things, and we worked it out where the kids, with a student ID, they can get in for $10, and everybody else is $25, and that, and with what Howard Bank is sponsoring, you know, we're going to have, hopefully we have a nice chunk of change that we can give to the Towson High School music department.
That is so awesome. Oh, my God. You know, we don't do enough of these kinds of endeavors. No matter what state anybody lives in, it's just, we need to get refocused on music in schools. And, gosh, yeah. I got so excited, David, because right about the time that Janet and I touched base the first time, I had found out that where my son and I are going to move in December to the Sarasota area, that is a stronghold in Florida for the arts, and they have been in the face of any politician who has tried to remove any music education from the schools. They have music still in junior high and elementary schools as well as high school and college. So
that's a big deal. That's good.
I'm excited for you
to get down there because I'm close to being able to do some gigs down there. And, you remember Akendra. He's down in that area, and he's always trying to get me down there. My uncle now lives down there, and I'm trying to get it so that I start doing a little bit more touring down in Florida. And because I know there's a lot of great music down there, a lot of great jazz. There's some festivals that there's just no reason why we're not playing them. And
absolutely.
Yeah, with you down there, that'll probably be the balance that makes it happen.
Well, thank you for that. I just found out that where T's dad lives in Punta Gorda, they are planning to build a huge kind of venue for the different kinds of arts that they have in mind. And, of course, one of the big components of that is jazz. And then there's the Sarasota Jazz Festival, which is huge every year. And then they have a Sarasota Jazz Society. So, honey, we're going to get you in there. That's all there is to it.
That's great. I'll have a great band down there, so they, you know, expenses are going to be, it'll be better than getting everybody from up here down there, and you know, and then I have my uncle I can stay with, so it's pretty cool.
Now, where is Akendra Duff?
He is, I don't know, he's somewhere. I think he's somewhere close to Sarasota. I can get you his exact, I can get you all his contact information.
Yes. Oh, please do. That would be absolutely excellent. Because honestly, David, there are several promotion people in the southwest area of Florida. So these folks are chomping at the bit to make sure that people come, especially from this region, Baltimore, D.C., even Philadelphia. It would just be so wonderful because here's what happens. When people come to Florida, they come to maybe Tampa and Clearwater, and then they jump down to Miami or maybe Fort Lauderdale, but there's a whole segment that doesn't necessarily get covered. So thank you for bringing that up. Folks will hear this live or in the archives, and if people are intuitive, they'll start to pick up this torch and run with it. So by 2015, you will have played in Southwest Florida at a really cool venue.
Awesome. That's great.
Yes.
It's a date.
Okay. Now, Otherworld, tell me what kind of response that you're getting from Otherworld that's different from previous projects. I'm curious.
Well, I mean, the main thing is college radio really picked up Otherworld, you know, the whole CMJ chart, which is non-commercial radio, really picked it up. And I ended up being like, it's sort of like, I mean, it's certainly being played a lot, but at about a month and a half, 2 months ago, you know how this stuff's all cycling. I was actually hitting number one in various towns and cities out west, and, you know, I did really well in Arizona, Colorado, Hawaii, Minnesota. I guess I might have a little bit of a west sound, west coast sound. But, I actually, in addition to that, the charting was so well that I made it up to number 28 on the national CMJ charts. And I did really well in Canada, too, and got up to number 4 on the Earshot chart, which is the national jazz chart. And, it's just been really tremendous. So, and from that, I got all sorts of reviews and write-ups, and absolutely, this CD, as far as critical acclaim, has far surpassed my last one. But, you know, in hindsight, I don't know if I really gave 5,000 words, you know, in some of my earlier CDs, that the opportunity to get the national exposure that Otherworld got, because I hired, you know, on this one, I actually hired Carrie to be my publicist, and that made a really big difference. And, you know, Carrie and I were talking because she thinks that some of my past music, my past CDs, basically it's new music to most of the world. I mean, yes, the region, the D.C., Baltimore region knows me well, and I sold a lot of those CDs around here back in the day when people used to buy CDs. I mean, it was just really great. And now I know that I'm getting a lot of streams, but, you know, for me, the artist, it's a little bit different. I would much rather sell the CD out of the trunk of my car than these streams, but that's a whole other topic, and that's so the thing is Carrie was saying, you know what you should do? You should put together a compilation of your best stuff from the last, you know, I mean, other ones like this CD, so the other, you know, 4 CDs or 5 CDs, and just because she says there's all sorts of great, you know, international material there that most people haven't heard in the world.
A great idea. And we're talking about, in case folks are wondering, Carrie Gaffney, who is just so great at being able to put together what an artist is all about and has the PR skills to send that particular material to the people who really need to hear it, who she knows will want to hear it. So if Carrie is the person who's made the difference, David, good for you that you chose her as opposed to, you know.
Carrie, I was like, you know what, I better do a publicist on this, because right away we knew we had some special material here. Right away I have, you know, my guys who are just going, wow, there's really something here. There's a spirit here that, you know, you need to get this out. So I had to save some money, and I went out and I solicited 5 different publicists. And what I learned about publicists is that a lot of them are like, oh, yeah, sure, I'll take you. And then you look at their roster, and they have everybody. They have 200, 300 people. And, you know, the difference between Carrie was like, well, I'll listen to it, and I'll let you know. She doesn't – I don't just offer money and she takes you. She selects the people that she knows she can do something with, and she, for the most part, she selects people who are a little bit on the unique and more artistic side, because she's not an assembly line radio person. And right up front, she'll tell you that she's, you know, that this is not what I do, and it's going to have to be something I really believe in. And she called me right away. She goes, "Wow, you have something here, and yes, I think I can do something for you. There's no guarantees."
Wow.
But I really think you have something here, and I think you have something special. And I tell you, Trish, I was shocked. When my first charting came in, and I was number 38 on the national jazz chart, and Herbie Hancock was 37, and I saw that.
Wow.
I about passed out. Not to say, you know, Herbie to me is like, he's one of my mentors, and I just love, basically, you know, I love that guy, everything he's done. And But to have that, you know, I've been very fortunate. I have some gold records, some composing that ended up on some songs that ended up on some good CDs that have sold. But this picture of Herbie Hancock right above me on this chart, you know, I blew this thing up, and to me that's more cherished than my gold records. So.
I hear you. Well, look, here's the thing about you, and I articulated this to myself in the past several days, knowing that you were going to be the person that I geared a focus to, because I really wanted this June the 8th event to have primary focus. You compose in such a way. It's one thing when you take songs that somebody else has done and you put your own spin to it, but you compose in such a way as to truly convey a melody that makes sense to somebody's ear. You go outside of yourself, and you alluded to this before, because somebody would ask you, what was your inspiration? What did you mean when you wrote that song? And you said, no, that's the wrong question. What did you feel? This is what you do. You go outside of yourself, and you're able to pick up something that might inspire you, but you are able to put it on paper and then to play it in a way that other people readily respond to. There's nothing dissonant about your work. There's nothing that we know essentially where you might be going with a tune. We don't have to wonder that you're going to get lost on a back road and you'll have to reel us back. Everything that you have written that I've ever heard, and I've got, five CDs in my collection, is like that. So Other World is just the pinnacle of all of that, because you've evolved as a human being. So you're able to say what you need to say in a precise way now. So no wonder Carrie was blown away. No wonder. Phew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, yeah, ultimately music is about, the musician, the composer, the artist, and it's the listener, and it's taking you away on that journey. Having something to say, as a composer, first of all, you have to have something to say. It's not just a bunch of notes. It's a sequence of notes that have spirit behind them that convey an emotional feeling that people pick up on. And you have to have that to grab the listener and really take that listener on the journey where you're going. And that's really the special thing you hear about musicians, playing, and you create the magic. This is what the magic essentially is. This essentially is taking you, that journey really is the other world, where you're not really in reality anymore, dealing with your bills and all the issues that we deal with as humans. And the frustrations and the happiness. No, you're actually going, you're going into this other place. And that's sort of where the whole concept of other world, that's sort of where I was alluding to, because it was like, wow, this really is a journey. And, we're all going on it together, and it's really special. It's the things that I think keep musicians being musicians, whether you're getting a great paycheck or you're not. That's what is the essence of the passion of what happens in music for the musician and also for the listener. There's nothing like music that you really get off on, whatever it is, And the nice thing about art is not everybody's going to like my art. I just throw it out there, and I get my following because I'm true to my art. And any artist any artist, whatever the style is, who's true to it, they're going to find their audience. So you're sort of throwing yourself out there naked, and it's like, wow, are people going to like me or not? And it's like, it's the audience, the audience finds you, and I've had reviews where people, you know, they don't really like it, and I've had reviews where it's tremendous. And this is what happens. You know, you have to sort of get rid of your you have to get become sort of thick-skinned as a composer, because, hey, I'm just, you know, it's like, and, you know, the whole thing about, yeah, it's really a great thing. I mean, like, everything we're talking about is really, you know, the music's really wonderful, and going into that journey and that other world is so important, especially now with a lot of the stuff that's going on in the world. It's you know, it's nice to have something that you can put on, and it just takes you into your little place, your little meditative space, your little spiritual world, your other world, whatever it is. And sort of
an oasis. Yep.
It's an oasis. And, you know, and it's really, musicians who do that, it's really, you know, people out there, if you like the music, I don't care whose it is, go out and buy their CD, because it's really, that's so important for them to be able to do more CDs, you know. And in this day and age of Spotify and streaming, it's a lot of times the musician isn't ending up even able to pay back his initial investment, because the money stream isn't there the way it used to be. And, you know, you figure, hey, if I go out and buy a hamburger or whatever, you know, you pay for it. You're not going to go out there and get it for free the way people think that, you know, music on the internet, it's like I can just go grab that because it's there and it's free. What it's doing is the artist is not getting some type of compensation, any compensation. And when you look at how many times this person who gets it is going to listen to this music, and how it empowers them, and how it affects them positively or whatever, emotionally, that, you know, you would think that, you know, it's a little, the music really should be, the musician, you know, it's so important. You know, it's so important, and everybody goes, oh, music's so important to me. In fact, when I was traveling last year in Asia, I was really surprised. When you go to some places like Thailand, the musician is revered, you know. In some of those Asian countries, the musician is treated like the spiritual man and like the doctor. They're at the top of the jobs that you can have. And And, you know, and what has happened now with the internet, is sometimes I feel like music is almost a commodity, you know. It's just like background, and it's really changed a lot, you know. So,
well,
but
David,
anyway.
Truthfully, and we could talk for days about this, but this is why I still love terrestrial radio. This show gives me an opportunity to play the music that I want to play that needs to get heard, but this is why I still really love terrestrial radio, because guess what? It has rules and regulations about the music that you play, because the artists that get played, they're under the watchful eye of ASCAP and BMI. Artists get compensated for the times that they're played on the air. And regular radio stations have money that's put into the radio station, so really nothing is for free. You know, people who want
free
stuff all the time are shortchanging the United States, because part of the reason we're in trouble is because so many freebies have been handed out. Oh, my God, I didn't mean to get into this, but, you know.
The one thing with you and I is we can talk and talk, and we have a lot of, you know, we definitely are never out of shortage of ideas and things.
Oh, that's right.
So what time are you going to get to the event on
Sunday? Yeah, Sunday.
Yeah.
I was told that I could be there early, but I'm definitely going to be there during the early in the 6 o'clock hour, so I can make sure I introduce you properly. So I will definitely see you at least a half an hour to an hour ahead of time. And I know that your time is short right now. I know you've got about 10 minutes or so. Can we play a song while I have you with me?
Absolutely.
Okay. I intend to play 3 songs from Otherworld during the time that I have on Hybrid Jazz today, but we have not touched on this song, and I love this song, David, because your classical roots show. You definitely have the blood, according to my ear, when I hear this song, and it's so different than the other songs. I have to ask you, whatever you want to say in response to Layer of My Heart, do that now.
Well, obviously, the emotional content, everybody comments on that. And it's sort of, I think this is something that everybody goes through, but really this is about, it's a very deep concept, and it's a very beautiful concept, but it has to do with mother and son. And I was thinking about, my mother passed about 4 years ago, and it was sort of a shock. And not that this is a downer song or anything, but I was thinking about, she came to me in a dream, and this melody sort of was inspired by her. And I was thinking about, wow, she let me know how she felt, which she felt great in the dream. So I felt really good because I was very down, and my mother and I were so close. Like a lot of us, when we all go through this, we're all connected in humanity like this, and this is something that, you know, it's just one of those things of life. But I was thinking about, wow, she's always with me. And I was thinking about an onion and how you can peel the onion, and the essence of the onion is still there with every peel. And that's sort of how it is with my mom and I. I am a layer of her. And that's sort of where that all came from. But this is a melody that was haunting me, and it came to me. And it was like, you know what, I played it, and I wasn't even going to put this on the CD, but everybody who hears it, there was like, no, you have to put this on the CD. So that's sort of the story of Layer of My Heart.
You made me cry. Dang it.
The weird thing about that song is I would play that, and when I played it for women, I wouldn't tell them really what was, the deal. I would tell them afterwards, but they would cry. So it was like, wow, as a musician, do I want people to cry? It's like, not really, you know, but the thing is, because there's plenty of happy stuff and up stuff on the CD. But the thing is this is what you do as an artist. You know, you have to reflect on what we all go through in humanity, and you have to be honest with that. And, you know, there's and if you can get in touch with those emotions, that's a beautiful thing. That's, you know, it was like, you know what, this is a really beautiful thing that people, you can touch people and you can make them smile, or you can make them laugh, or you can make them cry. The thing is I want to see an emotional response, you know, from playing notes. Wow, what a concept. You play notes and you can get so sensitive with those notes that, and with the right sequence, and with the right harmonic equation, you can, you can make somebody laugh or somebody cry. It's very, very powerful stuff.
It really is.
So anyway, that's sorry about getting heavy, but because it's really not heavy. It's a beautiful thing. You know, I would guess this has a beautiful.
David, it was important for you to convey that story. It really is, because it's a miracle that anyone, and you in particular, I'm talking to you right now, especially with a story like that, able to translate what is so emotional and so deep inside to a song. But let's play it so that folks can understand their own mystery about it. David Bach, Layer of My Heart from Otherworld on Hybrid Jazz. Let me tell you something, David. That song was tough enough to listen to without having heard the story. Now that I've heard the story, whoa, it's going to mean a lot more. It really is. Shoo! Beautiful.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Oh, my gosh.
So.
Yeah.
So
Sunday, baby. Sunday.
Sunday. It's at this Sunday in Towson. We're going to have a lot of musicians there. It's going to be all sorts of ranges of musicianship, and it's going to be great. We're going to have my group there with all the, you know, with a lot of guest artists with my group. In fact, David Wren, the music director from Towson High School, he's going to play He Always Loved My Version of Come Together, and I'm going to have him play sax on that. And then we're going to have Andrew New playing. He's going to do some of my tunes. I'm going to do some of his tunes, and we're just going to see what happens. And the thing is for anybody who's interested, it's at Charles Village Pub in Towson, and, you know, you can find out about it on Facebook at Trish's site or my site, and also at my website, which is davidbachmusic.com, and we have all sorts of great events coming up. I mean, this is a very, very good music year for me and my band, and I'm very thankful for that.
David, you know what? We should also encourage people, because there's some time to plan. This is Wednesday. It's going to be this Sunday. It might be a really great idea for folks who are not in the immediate area to make plans to get to Maryland. It's a beautiful place, Towson. Charles Village Pub is just great, too. I love the idea of the three bars. Oh, my God. So, you know what? Go ahead.
And just the little township of Towson is a really beautiful little town. You know, it's just a really nice little college town. So,
it is, and people can make hotel reservations. If you do a Google search, oh, my gosh, there's all sorts of wonderful hotels. So you plan to come, maybe take Monday off, do your thing, start early at Charles Village Pub, see all the acts, see David and Andrew, and then stay overnight and go home Monday. It'll be great. See? I should be a travel agent.
There's another place. You can go to Eventbrite and, you know, put in high schoolers or David Bach, and you're going to end up at the Eventbrite.com, which is the site is HN, or the URL, I should say, is hnhtowson.eventbrite.com, and you can buy tickets online. And really, this is such a great cause, you know, it's a charity event in a sense for Towson High School. You know, if people just want to put money towards it, and help a music department, that, you know, they can do that too without even showing up. I mean, I think there's no better way to, you know, benefit our youth than doing stuff like that.
Well, and that's wonderful of you to say, and let us also say that it's a double whammy. There's extra celebration in store for you because it's a CD release party as well. So, hey,
right.
One of the folks that you should be supporting is David Bach right here.
That's right. Thank you,
Trish. You're welcome. And thank you for the time. I know that you're parked right where you're supposed to be because you have an appointment, so we're getting you out in time.
thank you so much for having me. You know, I really look forward to seeing you. This is going to be a great event, everybody. You know, do show up, you know, and you can always, you know, if you can't show up but you want to donate, you know, you can do that. It's by going to my site or Trish's Facebook site or just the Eventbrite. And the money, you know, with Howard Bank being the co-sponsor, all that money just goes directly, all the online money goes directly into a escrow account. So it's sort of cool the way we set
great.
It all up.
That is just great. Well, I'm going to leave this particular segment of the show with another song from Other World. I really do like Sweet Spot. So, yes. So hopefully you'll get a chance maybe to do that on Sunday. It doesn't make any difference. Whatever you play is going to be great, but it's just one of those sexy songs that really makes someone feel especially good.
Yes.
So thank you for that.
Well, we're going to do Sweet Spot. We'll also do Layer My Heart. We're going to do pretty much most of the stuff on Otherworld as well as other stuff. So,
wonderful.
We look forward. You know, I look forward to seeing everybody, and really, I can't wait to see you, Trish. This is great. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, David, my pleasure always. Yes, be safe driving around now, and we'll make it a point to be there with bells on Sunday.
Okay, great.
See you soon.
See you later.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. David Buck right here on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Now, look, I know that plans go back and forth with different artists, and Andrew knew. I fully expect him to show up. It's okay. It's just that between the two of these gentlemen, David and Andrew, their schedules are insane because it's not just that they're on the road. You know, David has been on the road with Janet Jackson and Enrique Iglesias, among others. Andrew is on the road with Bobby Caldwell and Diane Shore. He's been on the road with Smokey Robinson. So it's not just that they have their own band leading events that they do. They're also band leaders in other directions. Andrew's got a couple of big bands that he's responsible for to a large degree, and he's got stuff to do at home. They're multiple purpose gentlemen and artists. So let's see what transpires. I'm going to play Sweet Spot right now, followed by something by Andrew New, and maybe the timing will be just right. Here we are. Enjoy this. This is Sweet Spot from Otherworld. Thank you. This is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thing about that song is it is too short. Billie Holiday. Oh, you know what? It's just hard to say. Maybe about 1935 or so, I guess. Yeah, that sounds about right. What had happened was John Hammond had sort of found Billie Holiday, although there are some that say that they don't like to give full credit to John Hammond, but in any case, he got the means to have her signed to a record label after hearing her. That's what's important. And what the record company had in my mind, that since jukeboxes were growing in popularity and since the marketing of the jukeboxes themselves in different venues were taking off, the record company had in mind for this new artist to sing swing-style songs so that they could put them on vinyl and then ship them to the various jukeboxes that were doing so well. So Billie Holiday got together with Teddy Wilson and his orchestra and did What a Little Moonlight Can Do, which you just heard, written by Harry M. Woods in 1934. And she also recorded Miss Brown to You, which is another very cool song. So when all was said and done and she had recorded them, the record company was not particularly thrilled until the popularity of those songs took off and that caught some folks by surprise. Because what Billie Holiday was able to do with her voice on What a Little Moonlight Can Do, What a Little Moonlight Can Do, was so different than what people were used to hearing. She let her voice become an instrument because she had said that the reason she got inspired to sing was because she envisioned singing like the instruments that she heard. Oh, my God. People just do not know the power, the magnitude of Billie Holiday. So she recreated jazz history once she got involved into it. So there you are. Various kinds of live endeavors. There's another live recording of it from 1958, the year before she died. But you can hear in the early definitions of the work, there was just that excitement there. There was something hopeful there. In time, you could start to hear the hopelessness, and it just broke your heart. Oh, my God. Billie Holiday, always a pleasure to play her, as it is Andrew New. That was the second song that we heard, Poolside, from Everything Happens for a Reason, which I always like to say, now we haven't heard from Andrew today, and I'm curious because I know that he posted the teaser about being on the show today, but I fully understand that sometimes things can come up, and he is such a professional, unless it was really important. You know, he would be here, so it's okay. We're going to hear another song from Andrew momentarily because we heard two from David Bach, and we're going to hear two from Andrew New, and if we can get to them later on this hour, we'll hear another two. We also heard Sweet Spot from David Bach's Other World CD. Can't tell you enough about what the contents are of that musical project. It's just thoughtful and passionate and compelling and variable. And this is something that I just said about Billie Holiday. The only thing that I would say is that I am used to hearing David do extended versions of songs, and all of these were like on Other World underneath 6 minutes or 5.5 minutes. When you get to hear him in person and he just goes on that keyboard and has everybody in the band follow him, it's a spiritual experience. It really is. All right, let's get to another Andrew New song. I love this variation on a theme. Man, he knows how to do it just right. Take five, The New Way, that's N-E-U, on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you. Hybrid Jazz.
come last one. Let's ride that silver train right down the Hudson. Have lunch in Midtown, it's summer in New York. Post brand, yo, meander through the Met just like we used to. The odds are King Tut still summers in New York. We'll both review Fifth Avenue from uptown to St. Pat. Indulge our vice, Italian ice, then walk through Central Park. Summer in New York. And last love, we'll order two espressos at a jazz club. Someone we know is gigging in New York. There's more to do tomorrow to get lost inside the Strand. Devote some time to Guggenheim, see Shakespeare in the park. It's summer in New York.
Just love that arrangement and that CD. Oh, Time Together, Michael Franks and Company from 2011, Summer in New York. Had to make that train reference, didn't you, Mike? Huh? Oh, my gosh. I'm trying to quell the anxiety of not jumping on the phone after the show ends today to call my son and find out where he is in transit on the way from Orlando to Port Charlotte. Woo! Have mercy. Michael Franks, Time Together, Summer in New York. Do you know that Michael is going to be 70 this year in September? It's just really difficult to conceive of that because we have known him for years, and some of us still flash the young Michael Franks in front of our face, the shy Michael Franks doing his little Brazilian songs on stage. And to see him on Saturday, which I'm going to do at the Capitol Jazz Fest with our good friend Veronica Nunn. So excited about that. To see them together on stage at the Meriwether Post Pavilion will be something else. So hopefully this time we'll have a chance for a little one-to-one. I'm hoping that he's going to do what most of the artists do when they're finished their particular time slot, is go to a tent that's provided for them, and they do the shaking of the hands and the signing of the autographs. If somebody has a CD or a book, they sign that. It's just really, really nice. The artist that I'm intent on seeing, of course, with Michael Franks, and Al Jarreau, and Stanley Clark, and some unnamed guests that will be with them for a tribute to George Duke. Pray for your sister here, okay? This has been a tough week for emotions. Woo! And it continues. So, yeah. Oh, and by the way, do you know that Time Together came out in 2011, but on June 14th? Yeah. So it's the anniversary. Michael and his friends are going to be at Columbia, Maryland this weekend, then in Austin, Dallas, Atlanta, Las Vegas, New York, among other dates. I'm sure everybody's pretty excited about this tour. They're getting to be very selective now about where they go. So if you get a chance to see Michael Franks, please do. It's just going to be so worth your while in the way of tranquility, which we all need so desperately, but he has a particular way of conveying a song and being at one with the musicians, and then that chemistry with he and Veronica, just so special, I can't even say. Mashika Winslow, Winslow Dynasty, that was the second song in the set. Oh, my God. That was Red Bells, Red Wine, and Red Lingerie. Let me tell you, Mashika and Dante Winslow, her wonderful husband, who is playing the trumpet, you have to get the Enter the Dynasty CD because there is something for everybody on it. And then there is that smoking relationship that Mashika has with Dante. I have never seen a marriage that was that hot. It's just so hot. It makes me want to get married. What it makes me want to do. Seriously, when she bends those notes, you can just tell. She and Dante were close together, and he's playing the trumpet, and he can't wait to get done that trumpet playing, and she can't wait to get done that song, because you know what? They got a little time before Jedi comes back from his education to go into a spare room. That's all I'm saying. 2014. It is kind of new, yeah. Enter the Dynasty from Winslow Dynasty. And by the way, if you are in the neighborhood, they're going to be at T-Volve on June 17th. That's on Alisana Street in Fells Point. They're going to be part of this dance endeavor, so they're encouraging dancers to come. But as you might suspect, limited seating. So make sure you go to Dante's Facebook page. If you're friends with Mashika, you already know. And then, of course, Justin Timberlake is coming to Baltimore on July 14th, Bastille Day. And Dante will be with his frequent boss, Justin Timberlake. Now, Dante just, he was in Israel, among other places, but wherever he was, he ran into Bruce Springsteen. So there is a picture of the Boss and Dante on my page, if you can find it, because there's a whole lot of other stuff there, too. We heard Andrew New. Did we hear him? Oh, yeah, Take Five. Yeah, we heard that. We heard Take Five. And what I can tell you is this. This might be him now. I'm not sure. I don't recognize the area code, but I'll go for it. I'll go for it and hope that it's somebody that I think it is. And we'll find out first. How about that? And then when we find out who it is, then I'll build up the person who's on the other line. 706 area code. Enter and sign in, please. Hello? 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 Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Not who I thought it was. Okay. I wasn't sure, and God told me, stop the conversation now. So that's what I'll do. And I'll go into another few songs, and maybe we'll find out what the other scenario is supposed to be. Because here's what was supposed to happen this week. Two hours today, 2 hours tomorrow. Allison Crockett will be with us tomorrow. By the way, he's doing a fantastic Father's Day show. Now, yesterday was a different story entirely. Today, Daryl F. Walker, in case you weren't listening, and you can always hear it in the archives, today we were supposed to hear from David Bach, which we did, and Andrew New. So, I don't know. Sometimes I don't know if I explain myself enough, but I thought I did because David was here, and I thought maybe they would share some space together. And so when David was doing his thing by himself, okay, maybe Andrew's going to call at the half hour. But that's okay. This has happened from time to time on Hybrid Jazz. People have things they have to do. I completely understand. So that said, I am going to play you a selection from Grace Kelly from a few years ago now. This is from the CD Grace, in which she put saxophone to hymns and spirituals. I wanted to play something by Grace to say congratulations to her because she has exceeded her Kickstarter campaign to fuel her new EP. Is that amazing? She's amazing, Grace. What can we say? And then she has a few more days left for the campaign, so there's even more money coming into the kitty. You'll like this. It's Grace Alone on Hybrid Jazz.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, watching us all. We take from each other and give nothing at all.
You first heard that song, of course, by James Ingram and Michael McDonald, Yamo Be There, but it's also from Daryl F. Walker's Hold Me EP, and he does a fantastic job because, you know why? He's not only a wonderful singer, but he believes every word he says. He's just one of the more sincere human beings on the face of the earth, isn't he? So nice to have him yesterday, and we did not play three songs yesterday. We played two. So he got a third, by golly. Daryl F. Walker, let me just tell you that besides Daryl having his own thing that he does, and he's got a regular gig somewhat regularly now in San Diego, but when he's with EBS, East Bay Soul, I just want to tell you who is going to be on tour with the band, because true funk soldiers want to know the personnel. Johnny Sandoval on percussion, Dwayne Smitty Smith on bass, Joey Navarro on keys, Greg Vail touring with EBS on saxes and flute, Johnny Beaumont on saxes, Lee Thornburg on trumpet and flugelhorn, Greg Adams, of course, the founder of East Bay Soul, on trumpet, and Daryl doing his thing on vocals and also doing the saxophone as well. So, man, we're looking forward to it. And I know the beach in the chat room is looking forward to Spagatini's this weekend, also at Catalina. East Bay Soul is going to be. It's just, it's starting. What can we say? It's summer and it's starting. We also heard from Grace Kelly. That's who started the set, from Grace, and that was a song called Grace Alone. I got to refer to my notes because I want to make sure everything is just right. Yeah. And once again, if you would still like to contribute to Grace Kelly's Kickstarter, you can still do that. What she intends to do is this. She wanted to pay for promotion and marketing, so she got all of the money and then some. And she wants to turn the EP into a full-length album. So she'll take the rest of that money and do her thing there. Just to give you a little background on Grace, something that you may not have known, the big deal is Downbeat Magazine. There is a reader's poll, and then there is a critic's poll. Grace Kelly was the youngest person ever to be voted to the Downbeat Critics poll when she was 16. So this is the kind of caliber of talent that we're talking about. Now, she just thanked me publicly for what I did last night in making sure people knew about the Kickstarter campaign, and she said thank you for the love, too. I do. I love her. She's 22 years old, same age as my son. Grace has been able to do some things in her young life so fearlessly that she gives people who are way older than her, raising my hand, inspiration. She has tackled some things, including arranging for orchestras, without blinking an eye. What is she going to be like by the time she's 40? She's so amazing to me, and I'm so thrilled for her. And let us just tell you that where you need to go if you would like to do something for her, because she's just so bloody wonderful and so joyful, GraceKellyMusic.com. Now, I don't have to tell you that if you go to just Grace Kelly, you're going to see the actress from the 50s and the 60s. Okay. So that's not where you want to be. GraceKellyMusic.com. And actually, our Grace was born Grace Chung, and her mom and her dad divorced. Her mom married a gentleman whose last name was Kelly, who Grace embraces as her own dad, and Grace and her sister were adopted, so it's Grace Kelly, just so you know. The middle song was David Bach and Carla Chisholm doing Angels from Other World. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah. So, again, if you are going to be in the area or can be this coming Sunday, which is the 8th of June, there is going to be an event called High Schoolers and Headliners Making Music in Towson for the benefit of the Boosters Club that benefits music education at Towson High School. It will be at Charles Village Pub in Towson. It will start at 4:30. Yes, lots of acts. And then 6:30 to 9 o'clock, the David Bach Consort will be there with special guest Andrew New. And I guess I'll be hearing from Andrew a little bit later on. It's cool. Yeah. Oh, I'm so excited for so many people. Folks coming to this area, folks coming to your area, people who are getting turned on to jazz for the first time or reacquainting themselves, because guess what? A lot of jazz folks are thinking out of the box. Shannon West, thank you for writing to me and giving me a song. She mentioned my name today, posted it on Facebook. It's what Al Jarreau did to a George Duke song that I cannot listen to until I have a glass of wine later on. Stanley Clark and Al Jarreau will do a tribute to George Duke at the Cap Jazz Fest this weekend. They will also do it at the Playboy Jazz Festival in Los Angeles on June the 14th, Saturday, next Saturday. So if you get a chance to catch Stanley and Al together, just like Al and George used to be together, please do. You'll just have the time of your life, because those are the two gentlemen that I know of who are high-profile folks who spent a lot of time with George. Stanley, later on, but when Al Jarreau and George first met, it was when Al was getting his degree in social work in Northern California. So he and George used to do the jam sessions together, and they cemented their friendship now from the 60s. So it's a little tough for Al to be, how can I say this, lucid and focused that George is no longer side by side with him. They spent a lot of time together. But what it's done for Al, it has given him a new lease on life, because Al's in his 70s and wants to be around. He's had a couple of scares himself. So now he has pulled himself up from his haunches and has plowed forward. He's got this new CD coming out that's a tribute to George, and it's monumental. I'm going to stop there before I start to get a little emotional again. Thank you so much for joining us. We're ending a little bit early today. Tomorrow we'll have another show from 1 to 3. Once again, it will be Alison Crockett, singer and composer extraordinaire, right here on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thanks so much. Thank you, Beege. Yeah. So nice to see that my friend BJ White and her friend Linda, the Brides, will be hopefully together at Spaghettini's to see East Bay Soul this weekend. Please support live music for whatever it is that you are worth. It means a lot to you. It means a lot to all of us. Don't let another jazz venue close. Support the music and the artists. Thanks. See you tomorrow on Hybrid Jazz.